Attention all staff and guests. This has been a false alarm. I repeat, a false alarm. It is safe to return to your rooms. This has been a false alarm. Thank you, and we do apologize for any inconvenience.
G'day, I'm Erk, and welcome to episode 369 of Erk Pod.
Attention all staff and guests. This has been a false alarm. I repeat, a false alarm. It is safe to return to your rooms. This has been a false alarm. Thank you, and we do apologize for any inconvenience.
Dateline, Formula One Hotel, Sydney Airport, Friday the 13th of July 2012. I'm preparing to head to the Gold Coast. It is about 8:36 in the morning. Just packing, just preparing to go. And so while all that was going on, while I was preparing to pack, a fire alarm went off somewhere in the building here. And you just heard the announcement that everything is all clear. Interestingly, they say that it is safe to return to your rooms. We never got any actual notice to evacuate. The signage here just says emergency procedure in the event of fire. Exit the building using the nearest emergency exit shown in the plan. Do not use the lift. It doesn't actually say when you should actually evacuate. And so I heard the beeping of the fire alarm. And then a guy came over, the same guy just came over the PA, and he said, we're investigating the cause of the alarm. Please stand by. And then he came back a couple of minutes later while I was setting up the recorder, and he says, false alarm, you can all return to your rooms, it's safe to return to your rooms. Now, I never actually heard anything that said, evacuate your room, leave your room. So that was very interesting. Anywho, I am here at the Formula One Hotel, just adjacent to Sydney Airport. If you know Sydney Airport well, I'm just up from what was the original Virgin Blue Terminal, what is now basically the General Aviation area, off Rossmith Drive. So I'm about 10 to 15 minutes walk away from the domestic airport. There are shuttles that come here at a cost. I walked to and from the airport 3 times yesterday, and so even with my luggage, it's pretty simple to get here. As I said, it's pretty close. It's also close to the air ambulance base, which I thought was rather cool. So today's plan is I am heading off to the Gold Coast. I have a gig tonight. The launch of a new album for a artist by Rare Breed Records, so that is cool. Tomorrow, as I record this, I'm heading to Dead of Winterfest in Brisbane. I actually looked up the timetable for the trains from the Gold Coast to Brisbane, and there's track work on, so unfortunately, there won't be any high-speed interurban trains for me, which is a bit of a shame, but you get that. I'm just putting away the Sleepalyzer 5000 that I've got with me on the trip. That, of course, is my CPAP machine for my sleep apnea. And if you are travelling and you do have something like sleep apnea, or if you're a bit of a geek and you have lots of electrical equipment that you'll have to plug in, you know, phone chargers and the like. It might help if you bring an extension cord and a power cord. The only power points near the or in the room are near the TV. There's none that I can see either side of the bed. Now, I'm not sure if this is... I think this might be a Formula One thing, but other hotels might do the same as I bump my head. Other hotels might do the same. So I've got a long extension cord running from the PowerPoint around to the side of the bed, and I've got the Sleepwiser 5000 on a chair next to the bed. You wouldn't actually believe that I'm really close to Sydney Airport. It's very difficult to hear planes. It's a very busy time for Sydney Airport at the moment, being, you know, 20 minutes to 9 on a Friday morning. But I can't really hear anything. There's not a lot to hear. Which is funny, because if I look out my window, I can actually see one of the air ambulances and a few other planes. I think there's a Jetstar plane over there I can see. But what I've got here on my phone, there's a website that you can go to if you're into aviation and you like hearing air traffic control. It's called liveatc.net. And so what I'm going to do, just for a couple of minutes, is I'm going to, first of all, as I said on my Europe trip about 50 million times, let the ambience take over as I do what I have to do. And you'll hear how quiet it is, even though I can see parts of the airport from here. There's a bit of cloud to the east and the northeast, a little bit of cloud to the south, but there's also a lot of blue sky to the south as well. The aircraft, I can see one coming in. It looks like it's circling around at the moment. It's coming in slowly. Might be coming in more towards Botany Bay. It's a helicopter. I haven't got my glasses on. It's a helicopter there. Heliport's just up the road and down the road a bit. So what I have to remember now is that I'm about to go on a plane for the first time since my Europe trip last year. Actually, this time last year, if I remember, I was actually in Amsterdam. I was leaving Japan and heading to Amsterdam on this day 1 year ago. And here I am going to do another trip. Going to Brisbane, the Gold Coast, and then New Zealand. It's very good, actually, being so close to the airport. I left home yesterday, the 12th of May, and I came here to the hotel, checked in, and then I had a look around the airport. Went to a gig last night that I'll tell you more about in a minute. Got to the hotel about 1 o'clock in the morning after the gig, and then woke up at about 8 o'clock, and my flight's not until 10 past 10. And so I don't have to worry about actually rushing to get here. there's a, don't know if you can actually hear that, there's a Qantas plane taking off and heading to the east. It's taken off, heading to the east. But very, 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 very quiet. And if I'm going to travel again, and I will, what I'd be, you know, more than happy to spend the coin to come here beforehand and get on an earlier flight rather than, you know, come from out west, especially if I'm doing something the night before, rather than come out west, spend about an hour and a half traveling, come here, stay here overnight, get a good night's sleep, and then get an earlier flight in the morning. I'm quite happy to do that. So what I'm going to do for a couple of minutes, I'm just going to let liveatc.net run, and you can get some idea of what's actually happening at Sydney Airport. You can choose lots of different airports around the country and around the world. And so we're about to listen in to the tower, hopefully. I haven't done this over 3G before. I've only done this over Wi-Fi at home, so it might be a bit slower. I'm not sure. Here we go. On a lot of the airports, you can actually have a look at the diagrams. And if you combine this with another app that's called Plane Finder, you can actually see the aircraft around the airport and know which ones ATC are talking to and where they actually are.
Indonesia 712 to send 6,000.
Send 6,000 to Indonesia 712.
degrees at 7 knots.
Continue approach, Cathay 161. Killing 106 Delta, taxi holding point Tango 6.
Holding point Tango 6, killing 106 Delta.
Rex 456, wind 270 degrees, 8 knots, runway 34 right, clear to land.
Runway 34 right, clear to land, Rex 456.
Targeted Virgin 187 Alpha, the approaching Sierra already.
Virgin 187 Alpha, give way to the dash 8 inbound, taxi holding point Tango 6, runway 34 right.
Give way to the dash, Tango 6, Virgin 187 Alpha.
Indonesia 712, contact director 126.1.
126.1, Indonesia 712, good day.
Virgin 820, contact class, just there.
Who's 920, good day.
1-5-10, line up runway 34 right.
Line up 34 right, Qantas 5.
City Tower, good morning, Qantas 461, ready.
461, taxi holding point Tango 6, runway 34 right.
Holding point Tango 6, runway 34 right, Qantas 461.
Virgin 635, descending 10,000, visual or set of the uniform.
635, good morning, descend 6,000, when you're ready for 34 left, independent visual approach.
Send 6,000, 34 left, 635.
921, director 125.3.
753, Qantas 921.
823, turn right, heading 150.
Right, heading 150, Rex 823.
34 right, clear for takeoff.
34 right, clear for takeoff, Qantas 5.
Xanadu 222, descend and maintain 6,000.
They maintain 6,000, Xanadu 222.
Xanadu 222, maintain 250 knots.
250 knots, Xanadu 222.
Yeah, 879.
Virgin 817.
34 right, full width, 150 possible.
Good morning, when ready to send 6,000, runway 34 right, independent visual approach.
Ready, 6,000,
34 right, Richard, 5 grand.
City
Pratchett,
Pelican 10, cleared
9,000,
receive
6,000,
clear correction, uniform.
Pelican 10, approach, when ready to send 6,000, 34 right,
independent visual
approach. Send ready, 6,000, runway 34 right, Pelican 10. Threshold wind is 280 degrees at 6 knots, runway 34 left, clear for land.
34 left, clear land, Cathay 161, and exit Alpha 2.
Qantas 510, contact fast, yeah.
Qantas 510.
Decimal 1.
Director 1061, Rex 823, g'day.
So we'll leave liveatc.net there, but it's a very good website if you're into aviation and that sort of stuff. Sometimes when you hear of an incident, or you might hear an incident in the news media, some people are actually recording this all the time, and so people have been able to get the recordings of what's going on. Now, I could sit and listen to that for hours, and I know basically what's going on. And as I thought, the departures and arrivals are at the moment basically over Botany Bay. That's what they try and do here at Sydney Airport. They try and share the noise around the different areas. While that was going on, a few planes took over. One Qantas plane basically went straight over the top of the building. Barely heard it. Anywho, I'll be back in a moment from outside, going to tell you a little bit about the concert last night, which was absolutely awesome, and how I got there. And I'm going to tell you about some very interesting plane advertising and who advertises what around the airport. Back shortly. This is IRCpod episode 369. She only knocked on the door. She didn't say, housekeeping. Okay, let's go. IRCpod 369 cleared for departure from the Formula One Hotel. Overall, I have to say, this hotel, definitely use it again if I'm coming to the airport. It's not often that I am actually at the airport this early in the morning, because I like to go up the afternoons. Nice and convenient location. It's not actually actually not a bad night's sleep. Okay, I'm now out of the hotel. It's only a very new hotel, actually. It's only 2 years old. Opened 2 years ago in 2010. The thing with the Formula One hotel is that they're relatively cheap. They've got basically everything you need. If you need just a bed or beds, most of the rooms I've seen and been in, they have had a double bed, and they've had a bunk bed on top. And they've got a shower toilet combined. You don't cook in the rooms or anything like that. It's basically a nice, cheap place to stay. You can get them on the last minute websites as well. At the moment, being Friday, they're advertising the rooms from $119. Obviously, you're paying some sort of premium because you're at an airport. And it's basically the weekend. But it's clean, it's functional. It's convenient. As I said, 10 minutes from the airport. So it's not too bad. I've stayed in various Formula Ones, and this is, you know, not an ad for them. I've stayed in various Formula Ones around Australia and in other places as well, in a similar sort of style. They're very, very simple to maintain and run. And as I was checking out, a Virgin Australian captain was coming in. So if it's good enough for a Virgin Australia captain, hey, I'm walking here, dude. If it's good enough for a Virgin Australia captain, I'm not sure if he's putting himself up or the company's putting him up, but he's in uniform and everything. So if it's good enough for an airline captain, well, hey. There are a few hotels around in the general area of the airport. There's a couple of kilometres difference between the domestic the main domestic terminals, Terminal 2 and Terminal 3, and the international terminal, Terminal 1. I remember reading about a year or so ago reports about wanting to change the way that the airports were actually set up. They were talking about having the Qantas planes and their partners, international and domestic, come from the same terminals. And then they were talking about the other major airline here at Australia, Virgin Australia, formerly known as Virgin Blue, coming in and doing their thing at what is now the international terminal. Of course, Virgin Australia, they now run domestic and international flights with their partners such as Etihad. And so they were talking about having all their flights in the same terminal. Having said that, that would mean a big configuration change for things like customs and border protection and all that sort of stuff. Because if you're on a domestic flight, you don't have to go through those procedures. You do, of course, go through security, but you don't have to go through the customs part. In some ways, I think that it actually makes sense. They'd have to make it, you know, they'd have to dedicate, I'll use Virgin as the example in Terminal 1. You'd have to have some areas where you just come in and, you know, do your domestic things and come in and do your international things. But the biggest change would have to be at the domestic terminal, where basically as soon as you get off the plane and go through the arrivals hall, you're home free. And of course that would take, there'd be a lot of rebranding involved, because, you know, the terminals are currently known as T1, T2 and T3. You know, all the signage around the airport and on things like trains are all geared to international and domestic. So that'd be interesting to see if that actually happened. Now passing the very original Virgin Blue terminal. When Virgin Blue started, I think it was about 10 years ago, as the latest part of the Virgin Group, Ansett were still in business, and they were Australia's number two airline behind Qantas. And so Qantas and Ansett shared what is now Terminal 2. So to accommodate Virgin and a few of the regionals, they built a separate terminal about 5 to 10 minutes walk away from T2, and I'm passing it now. It's now more on the general aviation side of things. So, as you can imagine, it's a hive of activity around here. I'm probably about 5 minutes walk now from the terminal. There's a lot of taxis around. I'm behind a large taxi holding area where taxis wait in line to be funneled into the appropriate areas of the airport. There's so many taxis coming in because there's so many taxis, people going in and out. So once, let's say, a taxi arrives at the airport, drops you off, they may decide to wait for another fare or indeed go empty or go to the holding area. It's also a place where you can sit and wait if you've got a booking. Someone's booked you. Well, you'd be able to wait here as well, waiting for that person to arrive. As you can imagine, parking around the airport is at a premium. Taxi stands at the airport are at a premium, and so they don't want a taxi, for instance, just waiting on the street if he's just eating his lunch or whatever. And so they've got a high amount of control over the taxis here. You Yesterday, I went to the Hi-Fi Bar in Moore Park in the Fox Studios Entertainment Quarter to see Western Australian band Carnival. And it was actually part of the part of a Carnival song that I started the episode out with. I'd never been to the Hi-Fi Bar before. It's relatively new to Sydney as a live entertainment venue. It's a place that has a lot of high quality acts that necessarily won't or can't get into the Sydney Entertainment Centre, or what this week is known as All Phones Arena, which is the Sydney Superdome. It's hard to really estimate how many people were there last night. The place was sold out. It was all standing room only. So I wouldn't have been surprised if there were a couple of thousand people there. There was the main ground level, and people were just packed in. And then there was the mezzanine levels, which basically was up above at the perimeters of the room. So it wouldn't have surprised me. Oh, even if it was 4,000, it's very sort of hard to gauge. I saw a photo that Carnival or one of their people took and posted to Facebook this morning, and very difficult to gauge that crowd in that situation, because people are just so tightly squished in. But it was a sellout. I actually booked that show back in March, not knowing what I was doing. I was still at home off work at that stage, and I thought, either way, if I'm back at work or not, I am going to see Carnival. And I did. It was a great show. They played some of their classics and also some of their new stuff, and I was waiting for the part of the song that you heard, New Day. And I was waiting, and I was waiting, and I was waiting. And they actually didn't play it as part of their actual set. But they did play it as the last of three songs on the encore, though. And so I was rather happy about that. The crowd really got into them, as you'd expect. Lots of people there. A little bit of pushing and shoving as people were going to the bar, going to the toilet, or going out of the venue. But overall, it went well. When I was on my way to the gig from the airport, my original plan was to catch a train from the domestic airport station into Central and then catch a bus out to Moore Park. But then, at the very last minute, I changed my mind. I caught a 400 bus. And for those of you who know, the 400 bus is a circular sort of route that goes between Bondi Junction to the airport and then out via some of the southern suburbs and out to Burwood in the west. So I said to the bus driver, I'm going to Moore Park. I know I can't get there directly. Where should I change? And he suggested Maroubra Junction. Now, I saw Maroubra. I didn't see anything that really looked like a junction. So I stayed on the bus. I actually stayed on the bus until to Kingsford, which did look a bit more like an interchange, especially in the dark. So I got off the bus, figured out which way the city was, because I normally don't go to the eastern suburbs, and then I headed off on the bus, got off at the right stop, and headed over to Fox Studios. So that was actually quite cool. I had a couple of hours to spare, which I spent looking around the complex, talking to some friends, and having a steak. So I've now arrived at the airport, so I'm going to let the ambience take over. But needless to say, it was a good gig. Really enjoyed it. Carnival went on at 11 p.m. So by the time I actually got out of the place, it was like 10 to 1. But because I got a taxi, even though it was $30, I got a taxi to the hotel. And because it was, you know, overnight, after midnight, there was no traffic, and I was back at the hotel in about 10 minutes. There was no buses at that time, and even if I could have got a bus to Central or walk to Central, still no trains to the airport at that time of the night either, because Sydney Airport doesn't actually run 24/7. The domestic terminal, just reading the sign here on the door, the domestic terminal actually closes at 2300 and reopens at 0400, subject to operational requirements. There's a curfew here of 11 p.m. So anywho, I'm going to go into the airport and let the ambience take over for a moment.
Beautifully.
Oh, okay, no worries. The up escalator to departures has stopped. So I'll just let one of the airport guides know. one thing with these airports, there's more than one way to get up. There was a whole heap of people crowded at a lift near the escalator that's not working. So I've come down a bit further. There's an empty lift and up I'm going. I was just on the arrivals level, now I'm on the departures level.
Welcome back to episode 369 of IrkPod. We're in a very different setting now from the last time that I spoke to you from Sydney Domestic Airport. See if you can tell where I am. I am in Surfers Paradise. I am on the main beach at Surfers Paradise on the Gold Coast in Queensland. It is still the 13th of July, Friday the 13th of July 2012. I last spoke to you, of course, from Sydney Airport. I managed to check in pretty quickly and he had to wait in line a few minutes because of the time that I had left to go to the airport. At the time I actually got there, Virgin Australia was starting to make calls for people who were on my flight but hadn't checked in to go to like an express line. They call it flight closing lines. And so instead of having to wait with everybody else, you get priority and you go into separate lines because they want you on that aircraft and they want that aircraft to leave. Got through there pretty easily. I had checked in via my mobile phone yesterday. Got through security pretty easily in about 5 minutes. The only thing that I had to do was to take my shoes off. I've got steel cap work boots on. In a lot of places, hello America and some parts of Europe, they insist that everybody takes their shoes off. I didn't. I thought I'll just wait and see what happens. There have been places where I've been wearing the same shoes on the same trip and one airport set off the detectors and the other airport hasn't. So the metal detector went off, and of course you think for that split second that you've left some money or something, or your keys or whatever, in your pocket. And then I realised that it was either my belt, which again, a lot of places in Europe it's just you take your belt off, or my shoes. So they took the shoes off, x-rayed the shoes, no problem, went through the detector, no problem. And by the time I got to the gate, I only had to wait about 15 minutes, if that, before it was time for boarding. A little bit bumpy on the way up to cruising altitude, but overall it was a good flight, just about an hour to the Gold Coast to Coolangatta Airport, and then got my bags pretty quickly, found the tourist shuttle that takes you to your hotel. That left pretty soon after I brought the ticket, and then I headed to my accommodation, which is in Miami on the Gold Coast. So here I am in Surfers Paradise. This is basically the hub, the tourist hub for the Gold Coast, also better known for its beaches, and also in times gone by the American IndyCar series has come here, but also of later years also the V8 supercars as well race around the streets of the Gold Coast. The Gold Coast area and Queensland in general is a popular place for people to retire, and also people from states such as New South Wales, Victoria, Tasmania. When it gets colder in the winter months, it's usually a good place to come for a holiday, and it's a little bit warmer, there's a little bit more sun, but today you wouldn't necessarily know it. It is about 5 or 6 degrees warmer. It is rainy though, sprinkles of rain at the moment. It is overcast and there's strong seas. I'm currently on the main beach at Surfers Paradise. One part of the beach is closed for swimming, but another part of the beach is open and the lifeguards are patrolling that as we speak. The last time I was on the Gold Coast was in 2006 for the IndyCar race. I haven't been back since then, from what I can remember. And there's a lot of construction going on at the moment down the Gold Coast Highway. There's actually a light rail or a tram network under construction here on the Gold Coast, running down parts of the Gold Coast Highway. So there's a lot of construction work going on in relation to that. A lot of the construction that I was seeing last time I was here in the centre of Surfers Paradise is finished, and there's a lot of new buildings up and about. A few new skyscrapers and the like since the last time that I was here. Cavill Avenue and the Cavill Mall basically resembles a construction site at the moment. The mall that runs from the main beach and heads west, basically the full length of it in the middle has been torn up. They're doing some reconstruction works, and there's a lot of pipes etc. visible. There's some really nice parts of Surfers Paradise where the buildings have been repainted, or they've been knocked down and bigger, stronger, faster buildings have been put up in their place. But you get to some other places more towards the Gold Coast Highway, and there's some new development there as well, but there's also a lot of older buildings that really sort of went up in the booms of the 70s and the 80s. The Gold Coast and Surfers Paradise in particular is very popular with Japanese tourists, and as we speak here on the beach, there's some, I presume, Japanese tourists in the water and near the water's edge having their photos taken, walking through the sand. And to my left there's some people learning to surf, and it's not bad conditions to be learning how to surf, I suppose. There's not a lot of sun out, there's not a lot of bikinis out as a helicopter passes by. It's not the almost got swooped by a seagull. It's not the picture perfect day that appears on all the postcards, etc., of the Gold Coast. You know, it can't be like that all the time, I guess. But even so, there's a lot of people just out and about, walking around the streets, walking around the beach. You know, there's people wearing t-shirts and shorts. I'm wearing a pair of cargo pants and a t-shirt. So it's, as I said earlier, it's about 5 degrees warmer than what it is in Sydney at the moment. So I thought I'd come and do something a little bit touristy. My gig's not for quite a few hours yet. I don't have to be at the hotel until about 6 o'clock when I'm meeting up with the promoter. So I thought that I'd come to Surfers Paradise, check out the action, see what was going on around the place and see what had changed and what hadn't. And in southeast Queensland, on the public transport system, they've introduced a smart card system. The Queensland example being called GoCard. So where I'm staying in Miami is on the Gold Coast Highway, about a block south of the strip of shops that basically marks the centre of Miami Village. So I thought there would be a good chance to go and get my GoCard, because I can use it to get the bus to Surfers Paradise, which is where I am now. I have to get the bus to the Gold Coast Railway tomorrow, and then there's track work on, so I have to get a bus and a train tomorrow to head up to Brisbane, and then on Monday I'll need to go out to the airport on the train. And so I reckon I'll need about a $40 go card, considering that it just cost me $5.20 to get from Miami to Surfers Paradise. So I went to the main shopping centre, called Miami One, and I thought, oh yeah, that'll be a good place to get a go-card. It's a store value smart card. And so in a lot of places, either the newsagents or the chemist or a convenience store sells a lot of things, including transport smart cards. In this case, the newsagent there didn't. And so the lady suggested that I walk down to the nearest 7-Eleven, which was about a kilometre and a half away. So I thought, no, I won't do that. I'll just go into Surfers Paradise, pay cash. You can still pay cash, even though the cash fees are a bit more expensive. And so it was $5.20 for 2 hours. Basically within the area between Miami and Surfers Paradise. So before I head back to Miami, I'll just go to one of the convenience stores around here and pick one of the cards up. And then I can use it tomorrow and on Monday. And the good thing with the smart card is that next time I come to Queensland, I'll still be able to use it, or I can give it to someone that I might know is coming to Queensland. So, I think from memory, the only person who paid cash was me. And the Transport Smart Cards are a great idea. It is coming to Sydney eventually. It's getting installed as we speak. The Opal. But it's great, so you don't necessarily need to worry about cash for the public transport journey. You just tag on, tag off, and the system works out how much you need to pay. And they usually give you a discount for using the card. So I dare say that's a lot of the reason why, apart from the convenience that people are using it, which is a good thing. So I might leave you from the Gold Coast right now, and I'll come back to you, unless something extraordinary happens. I'll come back to you tomorrow as I record this from Brisbane. I'll be also recording a lot of stuff for ERK FM for the Friday show, ERK FM Australia, and ERK FM Metal Monday. So that'll be coming up towards the end of July when I get back, end of July, early August, all that content that I'm recording for ERK FM. But I hope you're enjoying it. I'll just let the ambience take over for a moment, and then I'll talk to you again, unless something strange happens. Talk to you from Brisbane, or as a lot of people know it, Bris Vegas.
I think you just have to push the button.
No.
There
yeah,
we go.
Yeah, thank you.
Just gotta push it hard, that's all.
Yeah.
No worries.
Do the
other foot.
No worries. Yeah.
Okay.
No worries. That's alright.
That was interesting. I was helping a lady use one of the outdoor showers to wash the sand off her feet. She couldn't work out how to get the little shower thingy to activate. There's a blue button, but you have to push it pretty hard, actually, to get the water to come out. So I think I'll leave you from the Gold Coast for the moment. It's a pretty gloomy day, but, you know, I'm on holiday, so it's all good. Follow all the action. Best thing to do is to follow me on the social networks, on Twitter and on Facebook. The link, there are links in the show notes at channelwork.com. Dateline Fortitude Valley, Brisbane, early hours of Sunday the 15th of July 2012. Welcome back to episode 369 of ERKPod. Coming to you, as I just said, from Fortitude Valley. I've just left dead of Winterfest, heading back to my hotel on the other side of Fortitude Valley. It's been a long day. I arrived at about 1 p.m. and it's now nearly 2 a.m. I've had shitloads of coke, two hot dogs, and there was, lucky I had the big lunch. I had a half chicken and chips at the Red Rooster before I came to the event. Oh boy, dead of Winterfest, absolutely awesome. Let me tell you first about the event, and I'll sort of work backwards, I suppose. Yeah, I'll work backwards. Dead of Winterfest, the whole idea was basically to celebrate all things horror, all things zombie, and basically to get your freak on. That's really the best way that I could describe it. There was 5 stages at the Jubilee Hotel in Fortitude Valley, in the inner city of Brisbane, here in Queensland. Over 40 bands, and I covered a fair amount of them today, recording live and recording parts of their live sets, and also some interviews. You'll hear those on ERK FM Metal Monday, episodes 45 and 46. I was there for over 12 hours. I reckon I recorded about 6 hours of audio. And that was only with about 2 or 3, maybe 4 songs per band that I recorded. I didn't get to see everyone with 5 stages. And also doing interviews. It's a little bit more difficult. What I think I'd do, well, you know, if I had access to the mixing desk, which I don't, and I don't see it happening, I'd get recordings directly off the mixer. At the moment, what I usually do is just get in the crowd, get my Zoom H4N, which I'm recording on now, and record on that, turning the levels right down to about 1 out of 100 for metal, sometimes acoustically I go about 5 to 10, that way it doesn't peak out and become all distorted and become useless. If need be, I can always adjust it slightly in post-production. If I was to do things differently, if I had someone else or a couple of people to record audio, I'd concentrate on the networking and the interviews. Got a few interviews done, some I organised myself and some that were organised for me. But overall, with all the bands that I interviewed, all the bands that I recorded, as I said, there's about 6 hours of audio. We're in Fortitude Valley in Brisbane, which in some ways serves a bit of a dual purpose. It is basically the city's Chinatown, and it's also one of the major nightlife spots, entertainment spots, and red light districts. I like to equate Fortitude Valley here in Brisbane to King's Cross in Sydney or St Kilda in Melbourne. It's about 2 a.m, I suppose. There's a statewide lockout law that is in force, where if you leave a venue after 3 a.m, you can't get back in, depending on licences and stuff, in order to try and prevent alcohol-related crime. Some could argue that is basically diverting the problem, but who knows. To go back to the Gold Coast and then work our way forward to where we are now, had an epic night last night at the Shark Bar at Miami. If you're into the music, you'll hear the results of that on Herc FM Metal Monday episode 44, with some bands from the Gold Coast and also Dark Light Corporation from New Zealand. So another international artist that I've seen live and interviewed, which is awesome. The night went off. Dark Light Corporation were second last. The crowd was lukewarm to those guys. However, when Azrael came on, they're a local Gold Coast metal band who are launching their album. The locals really went off for them, which was good. I even did some headbanging, and it was quite a cool night. If that night couldn't be beaten, well, tonight it certainly surpassed it. I've been on the Sydney metal scene now for nearly 2 years, and nothing, and I mean nothing, could surpass what I've seen tonight in terms of the bands, the punters, the crowd participation, the way it was organised. There were very few problems, even though, you know, some bands can be difficult to get into. There's a lot of equipment that has to go on and off stage. The drums basically stayed there for each band, but they still had to bring some amps in and guitars and that sort of thing. And on some of the stages, the music was very different. It wasn't just only metal. There was some hard rock, there was some ska, there was some industrial and a lot more. And so the sound guys really earned
the sound guys really earned their money tonight. During the week, I'd done some research because I knew that I had to get from the Gold Coast up to Brisbane, which is about 90 minutes away, I suppose. And so my original plan was to get a bus. Gee, where are all these? Are these? I was thinking, where are all these? What are all these people lining up for across the road? I'm in the middle of Fortitude Valley, and I'm thinking, why are all these people lined up? You know, they're waiting to get into a nightclub. No, they're waiting for taxis home. The queue for taxis extends basically one city block, which is absolutely massive. I'm lucky that I've got my accommodation booked in Fortitude Valley, so I can just walk back to the hotel fairly easily. As I said, the original plan was to catch a bus to the nearest train station from the Gold Coast, either Varsity Lakes or Robina, catch a train to Brisbane and drop my bag off at the hotel and then head up to the gig. However, railway networks being railway networks. Siren, Queensland ambulance siren I can have, please. No, Queensland ambulance siren I cannot has. And an ambulance is just going into the Brunswick Street Mall. So we'll sort of see what's happening as we go past it, if anything. But railway networks being railway networks, sometimes they have track work, and this weekend was no exception. It was the Gold Coast Lions turn for track work. So what ended up happening, according to the website, the TransLink website, it was supposed to be buses replacing trains between Varsity Lakes and Dutton Park with a train off to the city. But what ended up happening is I caught a coach from Varsity Lakes, and there was an express bus that ran all the way. It ran all the way to Brisbane Central, which saved me a bit of time. I didn't necessarily have to change from train to bus or bus to train, so that worked out pretty well. So I'm just taking a photo of the ambulance and the police van that I can see here. I'm now in the Brunswick Street Mall, and it is going off. Anywho,
what's your get up, mate?
It's all good. Not talking to drunken idiots, that's what I'm not doing. Anywho, I had a nice coach trip basically the Gold Coast Railway, right into Central. I was able to then get a train from Brisbane Central to Fortitude Valley and then walk up to my hotel. The fair bit's actually changed since the last time I was here. I can't believe it's 2 o'clock in the morning and Red Rooster is still open. That is unbelievable. Macca's, of course, is still open. No surprise there. Lots of people trying to get some late night food. There's a late night supermarket. Still quite a few people around going from place to place. I booked into the Went to the accommodation that I was booked in, left my bag there, couldn't get into the room because housekeeping still hadn't finished. So I left the bag with the guy. Just awesome for JJ. Headed off to the hotel. So I think I'm going to let the Indians take over. This basically brings you up to date with what I've been doing. Weather today was great for the time that I was outside, but it is all good. Having fun. Lots of content for FFM. Meeting people. And it's all good. So I'll let the Indians take over till I get back to the hotel. Join me for the next episode 370, which will come firstly from Brisbane, and then depending on what happens, my next stop, it's Sunday morning now. I'm just going to relax on Sunday. I don't have to get up at any particular time, and then on Monday, I'm off to New Zealand. So that's going to be very interesting. I could hang around here and do some people watching and all that sort of stuff, but I don't really want to. It's been a long day and I'm off to bed.